Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive. Today we're tackling using recycled plastics in injection molding.
Definitely.
I've been looking over the excerpts you sent from what key factors should you consider when using recycled plastics for injection molding? And wow,
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating stuff, isn't it?
lots to unpack here. But first, let's make sure everyone's on the same page. Injection molding. How would you explain that to someone who's like never even seen plastic?
Good question. So imagine like you have this really hot liquid plastic, almost like goo,
Okay.
and you inject it with pressure into a mold, any shape you want, let it cool, pop it out, there's your part.
So it's like those metal molds for making jello.
Kind of, yeah, but way, way more precise and obviously way hotter. We're talking serious temperatures to melt the
And
plastic.
we're not just talking any plastic here, we're talking recycled plastic. So why go that route? Isn't it just like a feel-good thing?
Well, there's definitely a feel-good aspect, but it goes way beyond that. Think about the sustainability factor. Using recycled materials reduces waste, lowers our reliance on virgin materials. That's huge.
Right.
Plus, and this surprised me when I first learned about it, it can actually save a ton of energy during production.
Oh yeah. 60% energy savings for what was it, PET?
Exactly. PET, that's the stuff they use for like soda bottles. 60%. That's huge, both for the environment and a company's bottom line.
Totally. Less energy use, less reliance on fossil fuels, lower emissions.
Exactly. All that ties into this idea of a circular economy, which is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. Instead of that old linear model take, make, dispose, we're talking about keeping materials in use for as long as possible, creating a loop,
So
right?
like that plastic bottle could become what, a park bench?
Exactly. And then maybe someday back into a bottle again.
Yeah. Wow. That's really amazing. But here's the thing, and the article really emphasizes this. Not all recycled plastic is created equal, right?
Right.
You can't just like grab any old batch and expect consistent results.
You hit the nail on the head there. Quality is absolutely paramount. It's like baking a cake. You can't just toss in random ingredients and expect a masterpiece, can you?
Right, there's a recipe for success.
Exactly. And with recycled plastics, factors like melt flow index and tensile strength, those become super important.
Oh, I remember wrestling with those concepts when I first started trying to use recycled materials in my designs. It was like a whole new learning curve.
Absolutely. Every batch can be different depending on its source, how it was
Yeah,
processed.
sometimes it felt like I was gambling.
I can imagine. Melt flow index, for instance, that tells you how easily the melted plastic flows. You need it to be just right, too high, and you risk a weaker final product. Too low, it might not even fill the mold properly.
Makes sense. So it's got to be that Goldilocks zone, right?
That's right.
And tensile strength. That's all about like how much force the plastic can take before it breaks.
Precisely. And that's crucial for, well, pretty much any application. You don't want a chair leg snapping just because it was made with recycled materials, right?
Absolutely not. And
Yeah.
speaking of things that can go wrong, the article also talks about contamination. Like, finding a stray ingredient in your cake batter, it's a big concern.
Yeah, contamination is a big deal. You get bits of metal or even the wrong type of plastic mixed in, and that can, well, it can mess things up, gum up the machinery, weaken the final product, or even create those little imperfections that drive designers crazy.
Oh, tell me about it. I had a project delayed for weeks because of a batch of contaminated recycled plastic. It was like detective work trying to figure out where it came from. So how can manufacturers, avoid that kind of nightmare?
Well, it starts with choosing the right suppliers, partners who really prioritize quality control. Think of it like choosing a grocery store. You want one that's clean, handles food properly. Same idea here.
Right, you want those top-notch ingredients.
Exactly. And luckily, the technology for sorting and processing recycled plastics is it's constantly evolving. There's some pretty amazing stuff out there.
So like some super-powered sieve that can filter out all the unwanted bits.
That's a great way to put it. They're using AI, sensors, all kinds of things to, really refine the process. Which brings us to another key point the article brings up, the cost. Sometimes using recycled plastics can actually be more expensive up front. How do we square that with, the idea of it being a cost-effective, sustainable choice in the long run?
Yeah, that's always been a sticking point for me. If it's more expensive, how do you justify it?
It's a good question. And the answer is, it's all about thinking strategically. Think of it as an investment. You might have higher initial costs, but over time, the lower energy consumption during production, the lower waste disposal costs potentially, All that can lead to significant savings.
So it's like, you get what you pay for. Sometimes it's worth spending a bit more upfront to avoid headaches later on.
Exactly. Plus, you can't discount the impact on your brand image. Consumers are getting savvier, you know? They want to support companies that are making a real effort to be sustainable.
For sure. People want to buy products that align with their values. It's not just about like trendy consumer goods either. This applies to industrial applications too, right?
Absolutely. It's across the board. And that brings us to another interesting point the article raises, the impact of material choice on design.
Okay, this is where things start to get really interesting for me. How does using recycled plastics actually change the way designers have to think about a product?
Think of it like adapting a recipe for dietary needs. You can still create something delicious, but you might need to adjust the ingredients and techniques.
Right, okay, I'm following you.
So with recycled plastics, you might need to tweak your design a bit to accommodate the unique properties of material.
So it's not just a simple one-to-one swap, like, oh, we'll just use recycled plastic instead.
Nope. You have to understand the nuances of the material and design accordingly. Like, you might need to design with greater tolerances because, there can be slight variations in the material properties. Or you might need to explore different surface finishes to get the look and feel you want.
I can imagine. It's like, I don't know, adding extra stitching to reinforce a pair of jeans made from recycled denim. You're adapting the design to the material.
Perfect analogy. And sometimes you might even need to add structural reinforcements like ribs or gussets to, bolster.
Like fine-tune the properties of recycled plastics. It sounds kind of like magic.
Additives, yeah, they're like the secret spices in our recipe. They can do things like boost UV resistance, improve color consistency, even enhance flame retardancy. But just like with any recipe, balance is key. You want to improve performance without, compromising the eco-friendly nature of the material.
It's like finding those hidden gems at a thrift store, right? Those little things that make all the difference.
Exactly. It's all about understanding the material and being willing to, experiment and innovate.
This is already making me rethink recycled plastics in a whole new way. But let's shift gears for a minute and talk about the elephant in the room, the environmental impact.
This is where things get really exciting. Using recycled plastics has undeniable environmental benefits, and we're not just talking about, warm and fuzzy feelings here.
Oh, I totally agree. I remember the first time I visited a landfill. It was like eye-opening. The sheer volume of waste we generate, it really brought home the importance of recycling.
Wow, I can only imagine. So by using recycled plastics, we're directly reducing that mountain of trash going to landfills. Plus, as we mentioned earlier, it conserves energy. Manufacturing products from recycled PET bottles, for instance, can use up to 60% less energy than making them from scratch.
That 60% figure still blows my mind. It's a game changer, not just for the environment, but for businesses too.
Absolutely. And then there's the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. Producing new plastic from scratch, that's an energy-intensive process that releases harmful pollutants. By using recycled materials, we're taking a big chunk out of those emissions. And that contributes to, well, a healthier planet for everyone.
And this all ties back to that concept of a circular economy,
Right.
right? The idea of like minimizing waste and keeping materials in use. It's so fascinating.
It is. A circular economy moves away from that old take, make, dispose model and embraces a system where materials are constantly being reused and repurposed. It's a big shift in thinking.
It is. And it makes you realize that the choices we make, both as individuals and as, you know, businesses and industries, they really do matter.
Absolutely. The decisions we make today are shaping the world of tomorrow. So it's not just about feeling good, it's about making smart choices that benefit both the present and the future.
Well said. And that actually leads perfectly into the next part of our discussion, the challenges and innovations in plastic recycling. We've touched on contamination, but there are other hurdles too, right? The things we need to address if we really want to make this vision of a circular economy a reality.
Exactly. And one of the biggest challenges, honestly, is the sheer diversity of plastics. There are so many different types out there, each with, its own unique properties and recycling requirements. You can't just lump them all together.
Right, like a milk jug's not going to behave the same way as a plastic grocery bag in the recycling process.
Exactly. Some plastics are easier to recycle than others, and honestly, some can't be recycled at all with the technology we have now. It's a complicated landscape.
So how do we even begin to like navigate that complexity? The article mentions some pretty cool advances in sorting technology.
Oh yeah, there's some really exciting stuff happening there. One of the most promising areas is AI-powered sorting.
AI for sorting trash. Okay, now I'm intrigued.
Think about it, a system that can identify different types of plastic with like incredible accuracy, even if they're all mixed up. Sensors, algorithms, all that analyzing the chemical composition of the material in real time.
So it's like a robot with a super-powered sense of smell.
Huh. That's a great way to put it. And these systems are already being used in some facilities, helping to make the whole recycling process more efficient and improve the quality of the recycled plastic.
Wow. So we're talking about like sorting tech that can actually rival a human's ability to tell different plastics apart.
And in some cases, even surpass it. These systems are incredibly precise and can handle, you know, huge volumes of material really quickly.
That's a game changer for sure. Makes you wonder what other breakthroughs are just around the corner, you know? The article also touched on chemical recycling as a potential solution for those plastics that are, well, tougher to recycle using traditional methods.
Chemical recycling. Yeah, that's definitely a hot topic right now. It's this really fascinating approach where you basically break down the plastics into their building blocks, their basic components,
Okay.
and then you can use those to create new plastics that are, for all intents and purposes, indistinguishable from virgin materials.
So it's like giving those plastic molecules a second life. Instead of ending up in a landfill, they get to become something new.
Exactly. And the really cool thing about chemical recycling is it can handle those trickier plastics,
Huh.
the ones that are like really difficult to separate mechanically, things like multi-layer films or mixed plastics.
That's amazing. It makes you wonder if someday we'll be able to recycle like all plastics effectively.
It's definitely a goal worth striving for. And I think with, you know, continued innovation, we're definitely moving in the right direction. But we have to remember, technology is only part of the solution. We also need a shift in mindset, both from individuals and businesses.
I couldn't agree more. We've talked about, you know, consumers doing their part by recycling properly. But what about businesses? What's their role in all of this? How can they help drive this transition to a circular economy?
They have a huge responsibility, but also a huge opportunity. They can start by, you know, incorporating recycled plastics into their products and packaging. And it's not just about making the switch, it's about being transparent about it, letting consumers know that they're making a genuine effort.
Transparency is key,
Yeah.
right? It builds trust, and hopefully it encourages other businesses to get on board too.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just, you know, using recycled materials. It's also about designing products with recyclability in mind from the get-go, choosing materials that can be easily recycled, avoiding those complex designs that make recycling like a nightmare, and making sure products are labeled clearly so people know how to recycle them correctly.
So it's about thinking about the entire life cycle of a product, right? From the design stage all the way to disposal and everything in between.
Precisely. It's about creating that closed loop system where materials are constantly being reused and repurposed. That's how we minimize waste and really maximize resource efficiency.
This is fascinating stuff. Now, what about individuals? What are one of the most impactful things we can do, you know, in our everyday lives to support this shift towards a circular economy?
Yeah.
What can we do beyond just like putting our soda bottles in the recycling bin?
Well, first of all, make sure you're recycling properly. I know it sounds basic, but you'd be surprised how many people get it wrong.
It's true. Sometimes I even catch myself second guessing, like, wait, does this go in the recycling or next to it?
Exactly. So know what your local program accepts. Make sure you're rinsing containers, you know, removing any non-recyclable parts. Just take that extra moment to make sure your recyclables are, well, actually recyclable.
Makes sense. What else?
Be a conscious consumer. When you're shopping, choose products made with recycled materials whenever possible. Support businesses that are, you know, walking the walk when it comes to sustainability.
So it's like voting with our wallets, right?
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask questions. When you're talking to a company, ask about their sustainability practices. Let them know it matters to you. The more we demand sustainable products, the more businesses will respond.
It's about creating that demand, that market for recycled materials.
Exactly. And honestly, one of the most impactful things you can do is simply reduce your consumption overall. I know it's easier said than done, but we live in a culture of excess, right? We're constantly bombarded with messages to buy, buy, buy. But we can all make an effort to, you know, buy less stuff, choose durable products that will last, repair things instead of throwing them away.
Right. It's about shifting our mindset from a disposable culture to one that values, durability and longevity.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of simply talking about these issues. Spread awareness. Tell your friends, family, everyone.
It's about starting those conversations, creating that ripple effect.
Exactly. The more people who are aware, the more likely we are to see real change.
So true. This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening. It's a complex issue, for sure, but it's also incredibly hopeful. You know, there's so much innovation happening, so much momentum building. I really do believe we can create a more sustainable future.
I agree. It's an exciting time to be working in this field.
It is. So for our listener who's been with us on this journey so far, what's the one key takeaway you want them to walk away with?
If I had to choose one thing, it would be this. The choices we make today really do matter. Every time we choose to recycle, to buy a product made with recycled materials, to speak up about the importance of sustainability, we're taking a step towards a better future. We're casting a vote for a more sustainable world.
Powerful message.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another really interesting aspect of all this, the idea of design for recyclability. This is something that I think deserves a deeper dive of its own.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating topic. It really is. Design for recyclability, it's all about thinking ahead, thinking about the end of life of a product right from the start, from the very beginning of the design process.
So you're saying it's not enough to just like slap a recycling symbol on something and call it a day?
Nope, not at all. It's about making deliberate choices, about the materials, how they're put together, even the labeling and packaging. It all plays a role.
Okay, so it's a holistic approach, considering every step of the product's journey.
Exactly. And there are some key principles designers can follow to make their products more recyclable.
All right, lay it on me. What are the secrets?
Well, one of the most important is material selection. Choosing materials that are, inherently recyclable.
So doing your homework, basically.
Yeah.
Knowing what can actually be recycled.
Exactly. For example, some types of plastics are more widely recycled than others. And some materials, like certain composites, they're really difficult, if not impossible, to recycle with current technology.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's not just about picking something that's technically recyclable. It's got to be something that can actually be recycled in the real world.
Right. And it goes beyond just the materials themselves. You have to think about how they're assembled, too. Using fewer different materials in a product, that can make a huge difference.
So, like, instead of having five different types of plastic in one product, it's better to stick to one or two if possible.
Exactly. And making sure those materials are compatible, they can be separated easily. You want to avoid things like adhesives or coatings that can contaminate the recycling stream.
It's like playing a game of Tetris. You want all the pieces to fit together nicely so they can be taken apart easily and recycled.
Ha, perfect analogy. And another important thing is to minimize the number of components, fasteners, all that. The simpler the design, the easier it is to recycle.
So it's kind of like that minimalist philosophy, right? Less is more when it comes to design for recyclability.
Exactly. And finally, you need clear, concise labeling. Consumers need to know what the product's made of and how to recycle it properly.
Give them the instructions, basically. Make it easy for them to do the right thing.
Exactly. So, yeah, you can see design for recyclability, it's all about planning ahead, making those conscious choices, thinking about the entire life cycle of a product. Mm-hmm. It might not always be easy, but it's definitely worth the effort.
I like that you emphasize that worth the effort, because sometimes it can feel like we're, fighting an uphill battle against this throwaway culture. But hearing you talk about these innovations, these design principles, it gives me hope. It feels like we're moving in the right direction.
I'm optimistic, too. I think we're reaching a point where sustainability isn't just like a niche thing anymore. It's becoming a core value for more and more people. Hmm. And the more we demand sustainable products and practices, the faster those changes will happen.
And it's not just about individual consumers making those demands, right? We also need policies, regulations, things that actually support a circular economy and incentivize businesses to, to do the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. We need strong leadership from policymakers who are willing to, put the long-term health of the planet ahead of those short-term gains.
It's about creating a system where sustainable practices aren't just encouraged, they're expected.
Exactly. And that's where, consumer activism comes in. We need to make our voices heard. Contact your elected officials, support organizations that are fighting for these policies, make sure environmental protection is a top priority in every election.
It's about using our collective power to make a difference, to create a world where sustainability isn't just a buzzword. It's actually how we live.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a future worth fighting for.
Absolutely. So to wrap things up for our listeners who have been with us on this incredible deep dive, We have explored the world of recycled plastics and injection molding, the challenges, the innovations, the possibilities, and the importance of designing with recyclability in mind.
It's a complex issue, for sure, but it's also incredibly inspiring, I think.
It is, and it really highlights the fact that, you know, we all have a role to play in creating a more sustainable future.
Exactly. Whether you're a designer, a manufacturer, a consumer, a policymaker, we all have a part in building that circular economy.
So as we close out this episode, what's the one message, the one thought you want to leave our listeners with?
The future isn't something that just happens to us. It's something we create. And the choices we make today, they determine what that future will look like. So let's choose wisely. Let's choose sustainability.
Beautifully said. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.